You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Smart Sex, Smart Love. We're talking about sex goes beyond the taboos, and talking about love goes beyond the honeymoon. I'm Dr. Joe Court. Thanks for tuning in. Hello, today we're talking about interracial relationships and sex. My guest this week wants to help remove the taboo of talking openly about race and sex. Raquel Rocky Harris is a Detroit content curator who educates and entertains. She's an experienced writer, editor, and media correspondent using her influence to affect change. She hosts and produces Rocky's reality podcasts on Motor City Women Radio. Her platform explores essential topics in culture, entertainment, and relationships. Unafraid to ask what others are thinking, she's comfortable with unfiltered and unapologetic perspectives. Rocky's affiliations include the Aspiring Writers Association of America and the Detroit chapter of the National Association for Black Journalists. Rocky joins me this week to discuss interracial relationships and sex. Welcome, Rocky.
Thank you.
I think I love about you, so even before I met you, was that you're unfiltered and unapologetic, and I am too, and I love it.
But yes, does it ever get your spirit?
We are, but it gets me in trouble sometimes. Does it get you?
Oh, I am the queen of things going left all day. I don't know. Being transparent has been one of my best weapons.
Yeah.
To success, or best secrets to success, I should say. Because I spend enough time being reserved and responsible.
I mean,
as adults, we spend enough time
doing
that. So when I can, I let loose.
I love it. Well, I'm so glad. I hope you do it here.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So I'm going to just start with some questions. Can you talk to us about how cultural differences and similarities affect sex and intimacy?
Ooh. Well, okay, so I did a show on interracial relationships about a month or so ago, and the one main thing that I learned from that is that no matter how different we look on the outside, a lot of us want the same things on the inside. Mm-hmm. A lot of us want to be cuddled and held, and as a Black woman who's never dated outside of my race, I find other races attractive, and of course I'm married now, but I just found that that physical chemistry, or that not physical, but that soul connection you have. I'm one of those people, I believe in energies. So it doesn't really matter what race you are, because what makes you feel good makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned, like, from friends that, because, you know, there's a stereotype about white men and small penises. I've learned that that's not true. And that actually my one girlfriend, she says that her boyfriend, who is white, is the best guy she's had sexually. And she's been with several Black men. So it's just been a learning experience for me to remove my biases about it. And I think that's one thing that holds us back are our biases and what we think things should be versus what they actually are in reality.
You just threw me off for a minute. Wait a minute. So you've heard about white men with small penises, but I've always heard about Black men with big penises.
And it's not true.
Right.
Some of them have small penises.
Right.
So, I'm here to say some Black men have small penises.
So why do we think Black men have big penises? What is that?
I think historically, just some and we know as far as slavery and just the fabric of America, just period, not even just with Black people. There are certain stereotypes and beliefs that are put into our head about people because we like to put people in boxes and it makes us feel comfortable to put them in certain categories. So I think it's just something that from slavery, as well as the buck, when they used to sell the buck, how he used to be strong and he had to be virile. Mm. And the Black woman was looked at as a Jezebel and over-sexualized. I think those are just things that have generationally been carried on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somewhere along the way, someone threw in or put in the white man having a small penis as kind of a counteractive to that. So, again, I just think it's, again, a lot of times we get visions in our head that are just totally not true.
Right,
we make stuff up.
I know.
And if we look at a lot of wives' tales and the origin of a lot of things, they don't even have any basis or truth to them.
I know. And so, even porn contributes to that, you know?
Yes.
It
yes.
really does.
Right. It makes us think. And that's another thing. with porn just in general. You think that your sex life is just going to be awesome like the porn.
Right.
Porn, the movie, not knowing that they take a break, that they take enhancing drugs and things like that. And it's just unrealistic to think that porn is a representation of real sex.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I love, I don't mind porn, mm-hmm, but good porn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
too.
It has gotten
it.
Me in the mood. I'm not even going to lie. It was a period where my husband and I would watch it all the time. And then we just got too, and now he's like, he watches it alone. And like, I do too sometimes. So,
I love it.
But it doesn't, my thing is with everything in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and definitely I do believe porn does feed into, and just everything is sexualized.
Mm-hmm,
even,
mm-hmm.
A damn car commercial is sexualized now.
Mm-hmm. Everything is.
So we get these visions in our head of what things are.
So can you talk about, I always want to hear, have people understand, white people say, I'm kinky. Black people say, I'm freaky. Is that true?
You know, I think it's I think that's a cultural thing.
Okay.
Just like with any culture, culture means the way you talk, the way you dress, what you eat, mm-hmm, what music you listen to. So I think it's a difference in just semantics and like dialect,
mm-hmm,
sometimes. Because I've said kinky depending on the situation. I've said freaky. So to me, they're interchangeable.
Okay.
But again, I think we get so caught up in looking at our differences that we really are the same in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I love that you're
some of
this.
Us. I mean, not all of us, but it's like it's certain groups who like butt play. It's certain groups who like golden showers. It's certain groups who squirt. It's certain groups who like giving fellatio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another stereotype, that black women don't like to give fellatio.
Mm-hmm.
Or like white women like to give fellatio.
Yeah.
That's one of the things, like especially in high school and things like that. So or that black men don't do cunnilingus.
Yeah,
those are all stereotypes,
right?
There are people out there who enjoy to do them, and there are people who don't enjoy to do them.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the stereotypes, I always feel like even as a Jew or as a gay man I am, that stereotypes are based on some truth in the culture?
Some, but it's exaggerated at times.
Right.
And then it becomes where you think that that's automatically that whole group. And that's the problem with stereotypes. Yes, because even black people, we make fun of, and Jews, you might make fun of your own culture because
right.
you know these are things about your culture that are kind of ridiculous or just, you know, depending on the setting you're in, you feel like you have to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. You were asking me
about stereotypes based on some truth, you know.
Right. Some of them are. I mean, a lot of black people do like chicken.
Yeah.
But some black people don't like watermelon,
mm-hmm,
and chicken,
mm-hmm,
and or hot sauce. So, again, I think stereotypes make us feel comfortable too, because we like to categorize and label.
Right.
And when we can, and that xenophobia comes in, the fear of the unknown. If we, mm-hmm, don't know something, we have to put something on it,
mm-hmm,
to make it make sense to us. So it makes us feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. It does.
To exaggerate those things and to say, oh, well, now the stereotype has become the truth,
mm-hmm,
when it's not always the truth in certain situations.
What, can I ask you, what are some of the trends you're noticing around interracial relationships and sex?
I notice a lot more black women with men now.
With white men, you mean?
With white men.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as sex, I'm noticing that people with social media are more open with sharing parts of their sex life. Not like having sex on social media, but I've seen a lot of new pictures, a lot of, you know, there'll be, you know, innuendos online that people are showing. And I think it's just a lot more freedom, just like with the LGBTQ community. I think it's more of a movement now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing it more in like the Cheerios commercial.
I saw that.
I'm seeing interracial.
Yes.
You're seeing more of that in mainstream media.
Yes, finally.
Right.
Yes.
Right. It's still, you know, those underlying tones there. It's still only going to go so far. But there, I'm seeing it a lot more. It's not as taboo,
right?
I would say.
Stigmatized, really horrible.
Right.
And it's funny, I was thinking about this knowing you were coming on the show today, that we're still talking about interracial relationships as if there's – because when I was a boy, I was 8 years old, my aunt – I have an aunt who liked black men. And it tortured my grandmother, who was a bigot and very prejudiced, and she couldn't stand it. And the whole family believed that she was trying to do this to get back at my grandmother. She hated my grandmother.
Really?
And we all believed that. I was raised to believe that. And then I grew up, I'm like, couldn't she just have liked black men?
Right, exactly.
No,
right.
She couldn't have, they said. No, she was doing this to hurt her.
And that's interesting to me because, like, from what I've heard, now, is this, tell me if this is true. Jewish people don't even like when you date other whites. They prefer for you to
date
someone else who's Jewish.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It is still true. It's a stereotype, but it's a true stereotype, though. It is.
Okay. Okay.
And there's still a stigma around interraciality and, you know,
the whole. Absolutely. It's still a hot button topic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no matter how far we've come, there are still, I'm definitely seeing that it's not as, I haven't heard as much hateful behavior attached to interracial relationships, but there still are the whispers sometimes. And you know, the headlines always, whenever there's an interracial celebrity couple, you know, that's always going, that the conversation comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's, we don't live in a post-racial America. That's just a reality. We have to be realistic that there are those issues that still exist for
us. That even LGBT rights have surpassed the rights of black people. Right? It's stupid. You've been doing this longer than we have been doing this, trying to get your rights.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just thinking of something I wanted to ask you about interracial relationships and the stigma. Oh, the idea that black women, I've heard say that some people get upset when a white woman's dating a black man because that could be her man.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that?
Well, not necessarily. That it could be her man, but that, I don't know, in a way we feel, I don't know, sometimes slighted because we have, like, black women, pretty much, we are the lowest on the totem pole as far as we're a woman, for one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's already an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there is a hierarchy in society. And for us, black women, it's like we're at the bottom. So I think also it's an ego thing for us. Because we feel like when he, a black man achieves a certain affluence, he only wants to date a white woman.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
And that's a belief sometimes. That's not always the case. But what happens I see is also is that as they become affluent, they get into different circles that don't always have black women.
Mm-hmm.
So you fall in love with who you're around a lot of times.
Oh, that's a good point.
But it is... something, like I said, that for me, when I see a black woman with a white man, I'm like, well, unfortunately, empirical data shows that we outnumber them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, I see with my single friends is that they can't meet men that are on the same level educationally or just emotionally, mentally, financially. So they have to start looking at other options.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there are the bitter Bettys, you know, who feel like, oh, he only dates white women. Da, da, da. Now there are some guys who are like that, but then there are guys, and that's what I found out from doing my show, that's just who happened, who they fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is there, but I want to say that it's not just a blanket of black women. A lot of us still love our black men. And a lot of times we know that men are just men, period.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? You know, generally, they are who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're black, white, Chinese, or East Indian or whatever, a man is a man. Like when I go into a party store sometime, an Arab man will flirt with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a black man or white man will.
Right. So it's just a male thing now.
I think so. I think
thing.
They're just walking penises. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
And as a gay man, I appreciate walking penises. I can just tell you that right now.
Right.
So
I mean, not to say there's nothing wrong with a walking penis. Absolutely. Now I've got that in my head, a walking penis.
I mean, mine in too. So
that reminds me, my husband says I make him my boy toy sometimes. I'm like, what is the problem? You're a man. And that's another thing. We just assume men always want to have sex. And I'm like, come on now. How could you not be in a mood?
So let me ask you this. So we sexualize met the black man and the big penis, the BBC, right? Big black cock, right? Well, how do we sexualize women, black women? What is the stereotype of that?
Just that we're that even our bodies are welcoming of it. Like, we can't help that we have these curves. And this is, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I've really had to check myself, because adults, we put our stuff onto kids. We make it taboo to talk about vagina. And I think with Black women, again, the propaganda, what we put into media, just like the, also with the Latin lovers, we'll say like Latino men are, you know, have a hyper
sexuality.
And I think because of the Black women, because we are just fine and just boom, bam. I think sometimes that jealousy or that envy that people feel to minimize and to, you know, break us down to just being a sexual being. It works for them. It works for them. And again, it's just like another, just another stereotype so that we can be put into this box to make others feel comfortable.
Like you're other.
Right.
You're
and it's, other. I mean, again, and sexual, I do love being a Black woman. I do love having curves. I do love having a fat ass. I am proud of that. I don't really have boobs too much. But, and I just think, period, for women, it's a problem when we like sex. Not even just Black women.
Right.
Just, you know, saying, it's just like if a woman openly talks about sex, she's looked at as a slut. What's wrong with us having a one night stand?
Right.
What's wrong with us masturbating?
Right.
Making, what's wrong with us liking porn?
I love
but,
it.
But of course, that's a problem because America, we try to put this puritanical view out, and it's,
well,
which
to
is
control
bullshit.
Women's sexuality.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
What do you think? Did you hear that? I wish I had the story in front of me of that woman that was kicked off the plane because her clothes, she was a woman of color and she was wearing very tight clothing, but it featured her breasts. It featured her butt, but that was her body.
Right.
And it was, and you didn't hear about this?
When was this recently?
It was a while back. It was a few months ago. It was all over
just
the news.
Just because of the clothing?
Just because they, it was too sexual. And she was a woman of color, and she just, like you said, had the curves,
sometimes
had the
we
breasts.
Can't help it. It pokes out.
Right.
I mean, it does. But then that's also how that's something we have to deal with. Just like when you know your body type, certain clothing stores, you know, are not going to fit you the same. And it's certain clothing stores I won't even go to buy clothing because I know my ass is going to be hanging out or this is going to be. But I don't. Again, if she was a man, though.
Right. Right.
So again, just getting back to the sexist, just like the patriarchal undertones that are there, because who's to judge that that was inappropriate?
Right.
I mean, you've had people with your dog on the damn plane.
Right,
come on. So what? How are you know?
How are interracial relationships accepted in the Black community?
I think, I think it's more accepted when it is with a non-white person. So if it's another person of color,
right?
I think it's more accepted. But again, it varies from family to family. Some families know that they for generations they've had interracial relationships. Like a girlfriend of mine, she's from Windsor. So she's had white and East Indian and Asian, you know, family members all throughout. But Black people, we tend to be protective because we've been through so much. We do tend to be protective of our relationships and wanting to preserve that Black love.
Right. So even if a woman, Black woman or woman of color is with a white man, that's all, that can also be stigmatized within the.
Absolutely. Yeah. But again, it's more accepted when it's a Black woman with a white man.
Yes.
Than a Black man with a white woman.
Right. Right.
It's not as talked about.
Yeah.
It's not as talked about. It's not made as big a deal. Like Serena Williams with Ohanian. What is his name? Oh, my God. Alexa Ohanian. It's not, was not as big of a deal as Kanye with Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not as, you know, because, of course, now it's just that whole relationship is just a whole other thing.
Right.
But again, I think when we have another person of color, we feel more comfortable. But I've even noticed with other people of color, like Black people are still viewed below them. Because like even some Asians, I've experienced some racial things from them. And it's like, wow, Black woman, you just really You know, it's like we don't get respect.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of places. So, I think that's kind of our reaction to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one other thing I want to ask you, I never thought about, is that we do see more penises on screen, right, of males, but it's white penises and not black penises. And I have to be honest, I never noticed that before. Mm-hmm. And I'm noticing it now that you say that. Mm-hmm. What do you say about that?
I mean, again, I just think it's a way to suppress, and put out there what they want to put out there. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important that we have to develop our own means of media to put the images out there that we want out there. Mm-hmm. And this is something that when I interview different content creators about how they purposely do things to make sure that representation is out there. Mm-hmm. By the way, I love Pose. I can't wait till that comes back on. Mm-hmm. You just made me think that when you said penises Pose. On screen. I'm like, Pose. Yeah. But I think it makes us feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Because we still, we still are not fully there yet. Mm-hmm. We're not fully there. Main Street Media still, a lot of those awards, academies and boards are white males.
Yeah, that's why.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's even hard to get women's voices in there. So it's still like, it's just going to be like an ongoing thing. And I'm glad now, like Tyler Perry has his own studio. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's breaking more barriers. And we're seeing more and more people of color who are putting out content.
Yeah.
But of course, mainstream media is still. So we're talking about major networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, there's Fox.
Right.
They're still going to put the images out there because now Empire is about to get canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Not surprising. So it's just, again, what we patronize to and what we buy.
I'm so glad to have you on the show. I wish my shows were more than half hour, but some people say people don't listen for more than half hour.
Yeah,
so.
I know. I'm sorry. Mine is 2 hours, actually. So that's crazy.
I'd rather it be longer. Can you tell us where people can find you?
So you can find me on Facebook at Raquel, Raquelle D. Harris. Also, my business is Write Down To It, WRITE. That's my writing and editing service. And then you can find me on IG at Write Down To It, on Twitter at Write Down To It in the number 3, and Rocky's Reality on all social media. So that's RockiS Reality.
That's great. And we'll have that all on our website too, so people can see it.
Great. Tune in to Motor City Woman Thursday, 7 to 9.
Oh, good. Yes.
We're talking about the cannabis industry this Thursday.
Okay.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, good. And if you ever talk about walking penises, will you have me as a guest?
Yes, I'd love to do that. Absolutely. Yeah, you already know. I've got to have you on. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Rocky. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to this episode of Smart Sex, Smart Love. I'm Dr. Joe Court, and you can find me on joecourt.com. That's joecourt.com. See you next time.